Sporty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Thanks for tuning in this evening. Welcome to the sunny side of sports.
Stand up! Stand up! Stand up! Stand up!
Friends, we can all listen to the sunny side of sports.
Yes, my friend.
The sunny side of sports.
Sunny side of sports.
The sunny side of sports show.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Sunny Side of Sports right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Stand up. Stand up. Stand up. Stand up.
I mean, look, it was clean. I didn't allow Rafa many chances on my service games. And obviously, if you hold your serve, there's no need to panic on the return games. You feel like you're always going to get a shot, maybe one service game of your opponents, one a set, and then you just got to hope that you break at the right time. And because I was so clear and so committed, I felt it was always going to be dangerous for Rafa down the stretch, especially breaking early and feeling as good as I did on the serve. So, I mean, it's definitely been the best I've felt since Wimbledon.
A clear and committed Roger Federer, speaking after his 6-4, 6-3 victory over Spanish rival Rafael Nadal in the final of the Shanghai Masters tennis tournament in China. It was Federer's fifth consecutive victory over Nadal, the world's top-ranked player. The 36-year-old Federer is ranked number 2 in rankings released Monday by the Association of Tennis Professionals. At the post-match news conference in Shanghai, Roger was asked if he was surprised by the result against Rafa.
In a way, not that surprising, because I did feel good all week, and it does pay off to arrive early to an event. You know, you can't do it all the time, but I was here since Thursday late night, and that's 5-6 days to prepare for a Wednesday match, so I was ready.
Roger Federer now trails top-ranked Rafael Nadal by 1,960 ranking points in the ATP rankings. And Roger doesn't exactly sound confident of catching Rafa.
We don't have enough years left on the tour, and we're ranked too good that we play each other only in finals at the moment. And it looks like that it's going to stay like this for a few months more, so it's just can't win them all against Rafa, to be honest. He's too good of a player, and whatever happened in the past has happened. You know, I'm just happy I'm on the run that I am right now. I don't know what it takes for year-end number one.
As for his 5-match winning streak against Rafa, Roger has this to say.
I think I've also played him well. Clearly avoiding him, not playing him on clay has helped, you know, so I'm able to stay on the hard courts or in faster courts against him. But I have been playing very well when I have faced off against him. But Australian Open, I also had to get a little lucky, to be quite honest, because it was on the edge there for a while.
Meanwhile, Rafael Nadal saw his 16-match winning streak come to an end in Shanghai. Talk to us, Rafa!
A very difficult match for me. You know, he played very fast, and he played well. I don't know how many unforced errors he made, but I don't remember. He played so well, I think. I could do some things better, but that's it. No, just he played too good. That's my point of view. Congrats to him.
Spanish tennis star Rafael Nadal congratulating Roger Federer in Shanghai, China. Also in China, Russian tennis star Maria Sharapova claimed her first WTA title since her return from a 15-month doping ban when she beat Arina Sabalenka of Belarus to win the Tianjin Open. Sharapova scored a hard-fought 7-5, 7-6 victory over the 19-year-old Sabalenka. It was Sharapova's first Women's Tennis Association title since May 2015. Afterwards, Maria Sharapova described it as a special title and a special victory. Overall, the 30-year-old Sharapova now has 36 career WTA titles. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
Keep on the sunny side, always on the sunny side.
Hello, this is Shaka Sali, host of Straight Talk Africa.
On the next, Straight Talk Africa, an in-depth discussion on the unpredictable nature of Africa's presidential politics. From Liberia's peaceful transition of power to uncertainty in the Democratic Republic of Congo to confusion in Kenya. A conversation on the continent's unsettling elections on the next Straight Talk Africa.
Tune in Wednesdays at 18:30 UTC right here.
This is the Voice of America. Washington, D.C.
Voice of America.
The National Basketball Association tips off its 72nd season Tuesday evening with two games. LeBron James and the Cleveland Cavaliers will host the Boston Celtics in a rematch of last season's Eastern Conference Finals. And that will be followed by a game in the western U.S. city of Oakland, California, where the defending NBA champion Golden State Warriors will be at home against the Houston Rockets. The 30 NBA teams have been signing more and more international players in recent years. In this encore Sunny Side of Sports presentation, VOA Salem Solomon tells us more.
More than ever, basketball is becoming a global game. Last season, the NBA had 113 international players from 41 countries and territories. In all, one quarter of NBA players are international. The Washington Wizards alone have players from Poland and the Czech Republic, in addition to two players with roots in Africa. Ian Mahinmi, a 2.1-meter center for France, represents this diversity. His mother's from Jamaica and his father's from the West African nation of Benin. Mahinmi told VOA he grew up wanting to play soccer, but as he kept growing, he realized his future was on the hardwood.
I really wanted to be a soccer player, and then I grew so tall, and eventually I gave a shot to a basketball and then fell in love with it, and the next thing you know, I'm here.
As he enters his 10th season in the NBA, he sees the game is growing.
Now it's not only soccer now. You know, basketball definitely took a big part in people's heart. You know, I feel like it's more and more young folks that grow up to be basketball player. It's more and more African players in the NBA. So it's been a big growth, you know, since I got in the league.
The NBA now holds an annual exhibition game on the continent and has opened a youth academy in Senegal. Mahinmi, too, is doing his part, traveling to Benin last summer to teach basketball fundamentals to young players.
It was unreal, you know. The love that they showed me and the welcoming from the minute we got out the plane till the last minute was tremendous. You know, this was probably like the trip of the summer for me and my dad, probably the trip of our life. So, you know, it's something that we want to do every summer.
Wizards head coach Scott Brooks says that as the NBA looks to expand globally, Africa is a big part of its future.
Well, I think the entire continent. I think it's so important for us to continue to build our brand as an NBA. And I think Africa is definitely something that we've been considering for a long time. But Adam Silver and the NBA office has done a great job of making basketball a worldwide global game, and Africa is a big part of that.
For now, the Wizards' attention is focused on the upcoming NBA season. Last year, they won 49 games and nearly reached the Eastern Conference Finals. This year, they're hoping to do better. Salem Solomon for VOA News, Washington, D.C.
This is Dikembe Mutombo. I am from Africa. Malaria kills thousands of children every day. Don't let your child be one of them. Make sure they sleep under a treated mosquito net. Beating malaria is like winning at basketball. You need to get to the net.
Thanks to Kembe, our Voice of America listeners will remember the Congolese giant Dikembe Mutombo was enshrined in the Basketball Hall of Fame in 2015. Joining us now with a package of African sports news is reporter Samson Omale. Good evening, Samson.
Good evening to you, Sonny. Morocco will replace Kenya as host of the 2018 African Nations Championship CHAN. The continent's football governing body, CAF, unanimously decided to give Morocco the tournament ahead of Equatorial Guinea after its emergency committee meeting in Lagos. The award of the tournament to Morocco also benefits Egypt, who were awarded Morocco's place, now freed up as host. This is after Egypt were initially knocked out by their fellow North Africans in qualifying. CAF President Ahmed says there were no sentiments involved in deciding the new host of the competition.
We thank very much Equatorial Guinea for what they offer for the African football. But now, they are not ready. Morocco is ready than them. We have no sentiment to decide.
In the meantime, FIFA have rejected Ghana's complaint against South African referee Daniel Bennett and his assistants following last weekend's World Cup qualifier away to Uganda. Ghana were denied what looked to have been a legitimate last gaps winner due to an incorrect offside call from the assistant. The Black Stars were hoping for a similar outcome to Senegal, who were successful in seeing their loss to South Africa last year, which was handled by discredited Ghanaian referee Joseph Lamptey, annulled by FIFA. In volleyball news, host of the 2017 Women's Volleyball African Nations Championship, Cameroon, has won the championship thanks to a 3-sets-to-love spanking of Kenya. Kenya, who were looking to bag their 10th continental title, went down 25-22, 25-19, 29-27 to Cameroon. It was Kenya's first defeat in the competition, which had brought together 9 countries, and it's gifted Cameroon our first ever gold medal in the biennial competition, which is now in its 17th edition. And finally, South African national cricket team, the Proteas, comprehensively beat Bangladesh by 10 wickets during the first one-day international in South Africa on Sunday. Quinton de Kock and Hasim Amala both scored centuries as South Africans successfully chased down a winning target of 279 with 43 balls to spare. The win sees the Proteas take a 1-0 lead in the 3-matches series. Quinton de Kock:
"No, we never really thought about it. We just went out there just trying to bat, getting the team close, and then we just naturally just went on just to finish the game off between the two of us. So it was just instinct and kicked in, that's all."
I am Samson Omale in Abuja, Nigeria.
The Voice of America, VOA.
Hello sports fans, this is Paul Tergat, marathon champion from Kenya. You are listening to the Sony Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
Friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Yes, my friend.
Keep on the sunny side, always on the sunny side. Keep on the sunny side of life. It will help us every day. It will brighten all the way. It will keep on the sunny side of life.
Voice of America.
I'm Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
Voice of America!
More African football news now on the Voice of America. Gabonese star Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang scored 2 more goals over the weekend for Borussia Dortmund, but it was not enough as Dortmund lost 3-2 to Leipzig in a German Bundesliga match. Now, Aubameyang led the Bundesliga in scoring last season with 31 goals. So far this season, he has 10 goals in 8 matches, putting him at the top again on the Bundesliga scoring chart. Now, with that victory, Leipzig moved to within 3 points of first-place Dortmund in the Bundesliga. Dortmund has 19 points, Bayern Munich has 17 points, and Leipzig has 16 points. Just ahead on the Sunny Side of Sports, we'll hear from the Voice of America's social media reporter, Andrew Palcheski. I encourage our VOA listeners to check out the Sunny Side of Sports Facebook page. The address is facebook.com/VOA Sunny. Once again, that address, facebook.com/VOA Sunny. You'll see photos and videos, and you can post your comments. So check out the Sunny Side of Sports Facebook page.
Voice of America.
Our Voice of America listeners can also follow me on Twitter. My handle is at VOA Sunny Sports. Joining us once again on the Sunny Side of Sports is Andrew Palcheski, the VOA's social media reporter. Sporty greetings, Andrew.
Sporty greetings, Sunny. Good to be here with you.
Welcome back, Andrew. What's trending on this Monday?
So the story that has been trending for weeks and now we're getting towards months has been the protests in the National Football League. But as we've talked about on the show, it all started with Colin Kaepernick several years ago when he was a quarterback for the San Francisco 49ers in the National Football League. He was the one who started kneeling during the national anthem, and that kind of kicked off all of these protests. In the years since, Kaepernick is no longer actively playing football. He's been trying to get a job in the league, but after being let go by the 49ers, he hasn't been able to do so. Well, Colin Kaepernick is now filing a grievance against the National Football League and its owners, alleging that they colluded to not hire him after his national anthem protest. He says it's not just an issue that they don't feel that he's a good enough player. It's that because of his speaking out, they're actively trying not to hire him. So his Kaepernick's lawyer released a statement on social media Monday where he says, in part, if the National Football League, as well as all professional sports leagues, is to remain a meritocracy, then principled and peaceful political protests, which he says the owners themselves made great theater imitating a few weeks ago, should not be punished. Of course, we talked about how the NFL owners linked arms with the players, or they all kneeled with the players on the field in a sign of unity. And Colin Kaepernick's lawyer is saying that they co-opted that. He said, protecting all athletes from such collusive conduct is what compelled Mr. Kaepernick to file his grievance. Colin Kaepernick's goal has always been and remains to simply be treated fairly by the league he performed in at the highest level for and to return to the football playing field. So there's some thought at, as a result of this, that Colin Kaepernick might be able to get back in the NFL, or they might shed some light on some of these practices that might have been going on. Some say that Kaepernick hasn't been hired because the talent field is too deep. It has nothing to do with this protest. But other people note that less accomplished players have been hired while Kaepernick still doesn't have a job. And then there's this theory, Sonny. I think this is very interesting. One person asks, if Kaepernick were hired by a team, for instance, the Green Bay Packers, would that kill this lawsuit and put this all to rest? Now, this is interesting because the Green Bay Packers quarterback Aaron Rodgers broke his collarbone during Sunday's game against the Minnesota Vikings, and he could be out for the rest of the season. So there's a potential opportunity for Kaepernick to make his way back into the National Football League if the Packers were to hire him. Now, fittingly, Colin Kaepernick grew up in Wisconsin as a fan of the Green Bay Packers. So it'd be very interesting that this opening is happening now, and that could be one way he gets into the National Football League. The other interesting thing about this is that the Green Bay Packers are the only professional U.S. sports team that's publicly owned. The ownership of the Green Bay Packers is made up of hundreds of thousands of shareholders in the U.S. and Canada and around the world. And the team is managed actually by an executive committee as opposed to one owner. So some are pointing to that, saying, well, if there's any instance where someone could break into the NFL, Colin Kaepernick could get back into the NFL, it might be in this situation. It's not necessarily being held up by one National Football League team owner, but could be decided by this whole executive committee. So very interesting stuff with this lawsuit, and we'll see how it develops.
What's your take, Andrew, if the Packers hypothetically were to sign Kaepernick, would he drop that lawsuit?
He could. He could. One of the things that I saw on social media, people saying that it's very difficult to prove this kind of lawsuit and these kind of allegations that he's put forward in the lawsuit, that these owners colluded against him. So this might be a way to kind of draw publicity to his plight. He's trying to put this lawsuit out there in hopes that he'll win. But if he gets back into the NFL, that might negate a lot of what he's trying to do in this lawsuit, and he may end up dropping it. But all I know is that there's an opening in Green Bay, Wisconsin for a quarterback. Colin Kaepernick is a big Green Bay Packers fan. We'll see what happens from there.
And good luck to Aaron Rodgers as he comes back from that broken collarbone. What else is trending out there, Andrew?
Well, you mentioned earlier in the show Roger Federer taking down Rafael Nadal in straight sets to win the Shanghai Masters. It's the fifth time that Federer has beaten Nadal this year, and it marks his 94th title, which ties him with Ivan Lendl for second all-time for men in the Open era. The leader is Jimmy Connors with 109, so still a ways to go for Roger Federer if he wants to meet and then break that record. For what it's worth, Rafael Nadal is number 5 on that list with 75 titles, so he's up there in the rarefied air of record holders in men's tennis. On social media, Federer posted that it was a wild week in Shanghai, certainly one that proved to be fruitful for him winning the title there. And he followed up that message of the wild week with a photo of him kissing the championship trophy and three emojis: the Chinese flag, a trophy emoji, and the kissing face. So sometimes you don't even need words. You can just use photos and emojis to talk about what you want to. Well, this was title number 94 for Federer. Around the same time, we had title number 36 for Maria Sharapova, winning at the Tianjin Open, also in China. Now, this is a particularly important title for Maria Sharapova because it marks her first title since her drug suspension, where she was out of tennis for almost a year and a half. And she tweeted out, "Number 36, I will always remember you." So certainly a special place for her for winning that title. She is back winning titles in tennis. And I know a lot of her fans on social media, very happy to see her return and win again.
Win again, Maria Sharapova. And now we wait and see when Serena comes back.
The rumor is that she is going to be back for the Australian Open in January. We will see if that happens. But I think a lot of eyes are on her to see how fit she can get and how well she can train. And I think a lot of people are hoping that she will make that return to defend or try to defend her Australian Open title.
What else is trending out there, Andrew?
Well, speaking of titles, I know there are a bunch of teams in Major League Baseball who are looking for a World Series title. And so far in the MLB playoffs, it's been a bit of a lopsided affair. In the American League Championship Series, the Houston Astros are up 2-0. Similarly, in the National League Championship Series, if I can get the words out, the Los Angeles Dodgers are up 2-0 against the Chicago Cubs. So the Dodgers have been playing in Los Angeles for the first two games. They won the first two games. Houston played in Houston. Now Houston travels to New York and the storied new Yankee Stadium. And the Dodgers travel to the storied Wrigley Field in Chicago. So they'll see if they can keep the wins rolling there or if the home team will take that advantage. But fun fact that I think is a pretty cool thing that you mentioned to me earlier and I thought I'd share with the listeners. The four teams that are left, the Houston Astros, the New York Yankees in the American League Championship Series, the Chicago Cubs and the Los Angeles Dodgers in the National League side, they represent the four most populated cities in the United States. Of course, New York is the largest, followed by Los Angeles, then Chicago, and finally number four is Houston. So that's kind of cool that we see the final four teams are the four biggest cities. I think Major League Baseball is pretty pleased about that because they have the four largest TV markets now that they're going to have a lot of fans tuning in for. But we'll see who of those four teams will advance through the championships and into the World Series.
Andrew Palcheski, the VOA social media reporter. Thank you, Andrew.
Thanks, Sonny.
And that wraps up the October 16th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Bill Werkinger. Thanks also to VOA engineer Dan Crafton. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
I get it.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
As of October 12th, Sudan will no longer be subject to 20-year-old U.S. economic and trade sanctions. The United States decided to lift certain sanctions with respect to Sudan and the government of Sudan in recognition of Sudan's sustained positive actions in five key areas. First, the government of Sudan has maintained a cessation of hostilities in Darfur and the states of South Kordofan and Blue Nile. Second, it has improved humanitarian access across Sudan. Third, it has refrained from destabilizing activity in South Sudan. Fourth, it deepened its counterterrorism cooperation with the United States. And fifth, it has improved regional security by taking steps to counter Joseph Kony and the Lord's Resistance Army. In an official statement, State Department spokesperson Heather Nauert noted that the government of Sudan's actions during the last 9 months show that it is serious about cooperating with the United States. However, much more progress is needed to achieve a lasting peace in Sudan and to cooperate with the United States on a range of priorities. These priorities include, among others, expanding humanitarian access, improving Sudan's human rights and religious freedom practices, and ensuring that the government ends its relationship with North Korea, to include ensuring full implementation and enforcement of UN Security Council resolutions on North Korea. According to a senior administration official, Sudan has pledged not to pursue or continue with any arms deals with the North Korean regime of Kim Jong-un. We will be closely monitoring the situation, and they understand that we have zero tolerance for continued arms deals with North Korea, the official noted. Despite the easing of sanctions, Sudan remains on the U.S. State Sponsors of Terrorism list. It also remains subject to U.S. and United Nations Security Council resolutions related to the conflict in Darfur, for which Sudan's president, Omar al-Bashir, faces international criminal prosecution on charges of war crimes, crimes against humanity, and genocide. The U.S. position remains unchanged on this issue. We continue to call for all those responsible for crimes in Darfur to be held accountable, said a State Department official. The United States, said spokesperson Nauert, is prepared to use additional tools to apply pressure if the government of Sudan regresses on progress in the five areas noted above, or takes negative actions on other areas of concern.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
Hello, this is Shaka Sali, host of Straight Talk Africa.
On the next, Straight Talk Africa, an in-depth discussion on the unpredictable nature of Africa's presidential politics. From Liberia's peaceful transition of power, to uncertainty in the Democratic Republic of Congo, to confusion in Kenya. A conversation on the continent's unsettling elections on the next Straight Talk Africa.
Tune in Wednesdays at 18:30 UTC right here on VOA Africa.
VOA Africa has built a successful, effective social media strategy through Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, and other digital platforms. We are responding to our audience on the African continent and in the global diaspora. We believe in the power of connection and interaction to bring you news that is comprehensive, accurate, and objective. We see the changes in technology as an opportunity to engage with our audiences about the issues that affect them. At VOA Africa, we don't just report the news, we help shape the conversation on the continent. VOA, your trusted source for news and information.